2018 has been hailed as the year of the woman. Momentum is strong. Well, in the U.S. alone, an astonishing number of women have stepped up to run for office, and many have broken records in recent elections. Globally, emerging women leaders are taking office as heads of state. Women's leadership in government and policy is at the forefront of global conversations. Now more than ever, women are emerging to sit at critical decision-making tables where they have been noticeably absent in the past. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Friends, this is Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. This is Season 2. It's Malcolm Out Loud here. In our two-part finale, why women should rule the world. It's a big topic, big conversation coming to you here. What I just read to you are the words of Gwen Young. It's an opinion piece that was written just recently. She is the director of the Women in Public Service Project at the Wilson Center. It's a U.S.-based policy forum. Now, I've read a lot of pieces like this in both Europe and the U.S. with these big, great organizations that focus on policy agenda and concepts and ideas for women globally. I think it's a good place to start. So why should women rule the world, or should they? When you think about that, friends, what comes to my mind is, in a lot of ways, men haven't done such a spectacular job, have they? Is there equality in the gender? What progress have we made? Where are we at if you look back over the last 50, 100 years? And why was it different to begin with? I always question that. I always wonder that. How did it start off differently where the women are always catching up? Joining us on the show today from Season 2, Taz Thornton is here. Susan Price is here. Shauna Peters. Now, these ladies are from Season 2. From Season 1, Gail Murphy, Sally Fernandez, Barbara McGee. And friends, all of their bio and information can be found at AmericaOutLoud.com on Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Let's get right to the conversation and have this big conversation, ladies. So with what I put out there initially, I want to ask you, why have women been absent in the past? So think about this a moment here. Think about over the last 100 years where leadership, where women leadership, it's we read, we understand, there always seems to be trying to catch up. Why have women been absent in the past? Why are we having this game, right? I want to go right to Taz Thornton first. Taz, let's put you right on the spot and open up this conversation. So why?
You go back pre-Roman, I suspect that in some areas of the world we were far more matriarchal than we are now. But certainly in history as we know it, it's always been the way. Why have we been getting more powerful over the past 100 years or so? Because, you know, things like the obvious things like the right to vote have come in. We've been gradually getting more and more power. Gradually more and more our voices are being heard. And I think that's important. But, you know, take that all the way through. Should women rule the world? No, I think if you have just women or just men, then there becomes an imbalance. And that's what we need to work on. But why have women been kept down? The wheel has been turned against us for a long time. And now, thankfully, it's starting to come back the other way, and we're starting to get some balance.
Yeah, but Taz, it's in balance right now. When you look at it, women hold less than a quarter, about 20, 22, maybe 23 at tops percent of any, we're talking about policy now in government, which is really where
Absolutely.
It all starts. But women are more than half the population, so, you know, so you're saying why?
In terms of the seat of power, we're starting to come more into balance. But I think it would be foolish of any of us to say that just men or just women should rule everything. You know, even when I'm running group organizations, group workshops, for want of a better word, we notice if there's an imbalance of men and women. You know, the people who run the workshops with me will sit there and think, hey, we need a few more guys here, or we need a few more women here, because something happens with the energy balance when it goes too far one way or the other. So that whole thing about an eagle needs two wings to fly, we need to look at that.
Well, sure. All right, Gail, let's talk. And sure, an eagle needs two wings to fly, but this is not an equal two wings to fly to what Taz is saying. Again, women are only empowered less than 25% when it comes to leadership and key positions, yet they're more than half of the population. So why is that?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I think it's been better in the last 100 years than it's ever been, if you want to be, you know, absolutely, you know, accurate here. And women have had the right to vote. I think it's probably in the next 5 minutes, it'll be 100 years. I mean, prior to the conquest of the Catholic Church in Europe, we had what were called matristic societies. So they were, the leaders were women. And of course, we always had male-dominated societies, but matristic were societies that were both male and female. But you have to remember that even in 2018, it's certain places in the world it's still illegal to educate girls. So you have to keep that in mind. So what is it about women and girls that is so unbelievably threatening? I have to refer to the little rascals on this. It's the He-Man Women Haters Club. It's a boys' club. It's a boys' club.
The little rascals,
women,
huh?
Women can do so much, even in a coma, with their bodies, that it's just too weird. For the seat of power, it's just too weird. It's too complicated, and it's too weird. And it's too complicated and it's too weird because it's not necessarily logical.
You know, that I've never heard anybody put it quite out like that. Women can do more even in a coma. That has got to be a quotable quote if there ever was one, Gail Murphy. I mean, even in a coma, that's interesting. Let me come back and I want to finish reading something here as I was speaking about from Gwen Young here. She goes on to say, the challenge now is to ensure progress continues to accelerate toward full gender parity across all aspects of public service leadership, not just national level elected positions, but also local and appointed roles. So my question, Shauna Peters, is this: what will it take to accelerate full gender parity? What will it take to accelerate that, Shauna?
Well, I think, you know, and I'm perfectly aware of, you know, a lot of the things that have been said here, and I don't want to repeat them, but, you know, those are some of the things that I look at as well in where women are today. However, I think what it takes to move it forward is women stepping up, women taking responsibility. You can say, oh, I've been a victim. This has happened to me. This is the way, you know, my culture, my society has been. However, if you want to have a different life for yourself, for your daughters, for your sons, and so on down the line, it requires you to step up, to take responsibility for what's going on in your life. As an adult, you are responsible for that. And if you want change, you can make that change. Go out and find what you need to make that change. And that's what it will take, I think, to move us forward.
I think you're right. This is Taz here, just to tap in very quickly. I was at a wonderful talk with Marianne Williamson not long back, and she was saying that one of the issues with women stepping into leadership is they look into this abyss, if you like, and they say, well, there's nobody like me here, therefore I'm not going to get involved. Well, the reason there's nobody like us in that position is precisely because of that, because we see nobody in our shape and we step back again. Mm-hmm. We need to start stepping up and stepping forwards.
This is Gail here. I just wanted to make a reaction. Women have had no problem stepping up ever. It's just that they're not given, the pushback is far greater than the step up. There was an issue at this year's Grammys when the president of the Grammys, Neil Portnow, stood on television and said, women, female singers should step up. There have been women in the music business for years. You listen to country radio, once every 45 songs, you'll hear a woman. It's institutional sexism.
Okay. While you're on this topic right here of women stepping up, I want to talk specifically about the recent 2018 Billboard Music Awards. And Barbara, I'd like you to comment on this, Barbara McGee. And here it is here. So Janet Jackson comes out and she starts to talk about the hashtag MeToo protest and the movement, if you will. And she says, we will no longer be controlled, manipulated, or abused. And this is at the awards on stage. She became the first black woman to receive the Icon Award at the Billboard Music Awards. And she joined the likes of like Prince, Cher, Jennifer Lopez, Stevie Wonder. I mean, a big movement of superstars, if you will. Obviously, she did a big call out and salute to the Me Too movement. She said, for all the challenges, for all our challenges, we live at a glorious moment in history, she tells the audience, you know. It's a moment when, at long last, women have made it clear that we will no longer be controlled, manipulated, or abused. I stand with those women and with those men equally outraged by discrimination who support us in heart and mind. And it was very interesting, Barbara, how some of her words, and she spoke about her faith. She said, it's also a moment when our public discourse is loud and harsh. My prayers that wary of such noise, we turn back to the source of all calmness, that source is God. What do you think about Janet Jackson's comments there, Barbara? And what about the fact that she says we will no longer be controlled, manipulated, or abused? Those are big words.
Well, you're right about that. You have to remember, Janet Jackson is an American icon. She has been around since she was a little girl, 6 or 7 years old.
Well, that's why
old.
They gave her the Icon Award, Barbara, because right. She's an icon. That's what she got, actually. That's well said. Yeah.
But her last husband, a lot of people don't know, was from Iran. And so she left here after her brother's death, married one of the richest men in the world, had a child, and then escaped. She fled. A lot of people don't know that Janet Jackson made it just to the 5-year mark. And then she fled the captivity that she was living in Iran and showed up in England, I think London. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows how she got away with the baby. So when we start talking about unfairness and the Me Too and how that relates to all of us who aren't in entertainment. You know, I sit and I watch television and I look here in Los Angeles this weekend, Gail, if you will, for the past 4 days, there's been only women sitting in the chair on the news team. No men. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they've been beautiful women. You know, I mean, I enjoy looking at them. But one of them just said the other day, well, I didn't graduate from college and I did, you know, they were chatting. And so, you know, the fear that I have is are we demanding a spot at the table without excellence? Are we demanding a spot at the table so that we're all a female cast, but none of us are getting paid a male's rate? Are we demanding a spot at the table and we're not really going through the motions to be at that table? Mm-hmm. That is the problem. And I'm not saying that women aren't smart, sharp, because let's face it, I'm an African-American woman. They say that African-American women hold the leadership in education right now in the United States, but we don't make the money. We don't command the jobs. We don't command our destiny.
Barbara, let me ask you on what you say. So what comes to my mind immediately, I want to ask you, why? Why have women not demanded more? I mean, speak to that point. Why did we ever get here to begin with? Why?
Well, because women, now, let's not forget, we already have a role. Our role has always been the matriarch, to hold the family together, to have and handle the children, to take care of the children, to be the wife. I mean, you know, the husband is nothing without the wife.
All right,
the,
but Barbara, think about all the skills it takes. Let's talk about that a quick moment before I go to Susan Price here. And I just want to say this. Think about all of these things we're talking about, all the skill sets it takes for a woman to do what you say. You just the kids and the husband. And of course, today it's the work. I mean, they, I mean, Barbara, I mean, they pretty well short of a magician, if you think about everything that's on their plate. I mean, for most women, it takes enormous talent.
And Malcolm, and that is devoid of her own personal goals, her own personal gifts that God has given her. She sacrificed that to make the family whole.
That is well said, Barbara. I want to go right to Susan Price with that, what you just say right there, Barbara, because Susan, listening to Barbara, the sacrifices that women have made, and you look at what we're talking about here with the family unit, take a look back, Susan, and tell us, why is that, and why have women, I almost want to say, Susan, I know this may not sound right, but I think possibly some would say women have settled for less.
Well, Malcolm, Barbara just, and thank you, Barbara, you said exactly what I'm sitting here thinking, but I couldn't say it at that moment. You were saying it. And, women are empathetic and we're tied into every emotion of our family members. Mm-hmm. And we sacrifice that. We respect the position of the husband and the men, but at the same time, through time, that's what was expected of us. You know, every time we tried to push forward, we were pushed down like know your place, because nobody else could do it better than us with our families and our jobs. And so there's no telling, Malcolm. And as I look around and living in the times that we live in, you have to wonder why men are wanting to become women nowadays, and some women are wanting to become men. I mean, it's a chaotic, really. Well, it's contradiction.
Susan,
in action,
that's funny.
Right?
We do talk about gender parity, don't we? Maybe that's what it's
all
about. I don't know.
And that's entered into this as well. That's a part of this. And then there's those identities that, you know, if you want to be a couch potato, you could be that too. So, I don't know. It's just.
Okay, interesting.
Well, this
we
is
need
Shauna.
A balance.
I'd like to take this conversation to sort of a different level. We're kind of talking about it right now, and people in female bodies and people in male bodies. And I think we have to look deeper and talk about masculine and feminine energy. You know, Susan,
right.
You were saying, you know, that hasn't been valued, the contribution that women make,
right.
The contribution of nurture of children and home, connections that women
right.
continually make amongst people. And I think in order for this to shift, both people in male bodies and female bodies actually hold about a 50-50 balance of masculine and feminine energy. That is what has to come into balance. And we have to accept that all the things aligned with feminine energy are things that are valuable, that are supporting us. And I think that is actually, we are fearful of those things. They're a little less tangible, less linear, a little bit more mysterious. And we fear those things. And I don't think this issue will come into balance unless we make a movement on the energy level. It's not just about who exists in what body. It's, are we afraid of certain things? Are we trying to control everything
exactly.
and accomplish everything in sort of the masculine energy
sense? All right, let me say this. As I hear now Susan and Shauna take that conversation, it is absolutely on my mind, ladies, that men and women are different. There's no doubt. Yet the trend, as Susan, you were just alluding to, is to treat them kind of the same. Whereas, like Shauna says,
right.
well, femininity and masculinity are two components, and we all have these components,
yes.
some more than less, but it's hard sometimes to determine yes. the difference of that gender. I want to come back more, ladies, just ahead to this. I think there's a lot, Shauna, to what you say just there, on top of what Susan says with the femininity and the masculinity, and I don't think we're often thinking we can do anything, but there is a bigger conversation here within the constraints of that masculinity or that femininity. There's a part of that it impacts our bodies and our capabilities. Here's a big question I want you to think about here, which I mentioned Janet Jackson a moment ago. I mentioned the Me Too movement. Now, this has been an extraordinary movement There, it's been very controversial, ladies. I mean, there have been ladies out on the West Coast, as you know, wearing pink vagina hats. And some people would say they look like damn fools. Others would say they're standing up for what's right, and they're standing up in the face of this oppression and, you know, potentially here. It's a question I want you to think about here. There, within all of these protests and marches, do women movements propel women forward, or do they separate the winners from the losers? Think about that. Just let that resonate a moment. Do women movements propel women forward or separate winners from losers? Now, we're going to give that spotlight question to Sally Fernandez in just a moment here. Let me take just a moment to tell everybody you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure Season 2 here, friends. This is our two-part finale of an extraordinary season. We do 100 episodes per season. So the entire season one is available on podcast, on Apple Podcast, on Google Play, Stitcher, all podcast networks worldwide, where you can hear the voices of Gail Murphy, Sally Fernandez, Barbara McGee, who were truly amazing in season one. And you'll hear all the ladies there from season one on that. And again, season two, Taz Thornton, Susan Price, Shauna Peters, which you hear part of this production here today, all of these women are part of season two. And, you know, this show, again, with 100 episodes, we're able to dive into a lot of topics, a lot of interest, and we cover this full spectrum of everything, as you see in the write-up, everything from world peace to religion to sex to oppression to you name it, we cover it on this show. It's fascinating, really, when you take a look at the gender and the way that we do here. So again, go to the podcast, rate and review, and we're getting ready, by the way, we're in the moment now of selecting the next 10 women for season 3, which will launch this November. It will launch this November, and immediately after the conclusion of this season, friends, you will find that Season 2 will replay in its entirety, and it always plays 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the encore is at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can hear it worldwide. You can hear it on our apps. You can hear it on iHeartRadio, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Friends, more Life, Liberty in just a moment. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. So as we join back here, friends, on this finale production here, I posed the question up front here. So, all right, so we talked about Janet Jackson up front and the Me Too movement and the hashtag Me Too, and it was most edgy, very controversial. And then you've got a lot of moving pieces here. You've got a lot of the sexual abuse that's happening throughout, the world, but specifically it's been a major trauma here in the United States and in the UK too, for that matter. It's been a worldwide problem, and we'll get more into that in a minute. But I asked you a question before the pause here a moment ago here. With all of these protests and marches, Sally Fernandez, I want to put the question right to you. Do women movements propel women forward, or do they separate the winners from the losers?
My personal opinion is that they hold women back, because a lot of these movements tend to lump in a lot of special interest in one basket. And whether it's pro-choice, equal pay, LGBTQT, et cetera, all women don't feel the same about these issues. And, I think it's a shame. And, for example, pro-lifers were banned from the Women's March, and that doesn't really represent all women. So I think the best way of looking at who should rule and who should be in power, it should be getting a place at the table, fighting for equality, but it should be based on our talents and our skills rather than our gender. You know, I agree with what Taz was saying, is that no one
gender should rule the world, because we are wired differently and we bring different perspectives to a situation, to a relationship, to, you know, day-to-day conversation, which enriches us as people and individuals. And so I just think the battle should be for those women who want a seat at the table, for those women who want equality, to work on that aspect, because there are a lot of people, there are women who are stay at home and feel fulfilled and feel that they have contributed to society. So to say that everybody should, you know, run for Congress, everybody should be in a CEO position and so forth, I think there's, if they have the skills, then they should get the equality. So we're, you know, women are individuals, I think, first.
Yeah, that's really well said, Sally. Gail Murphy, I want you to comment on something here that Sally puts out there. Very interesting, because when a lot of those marches were happening, and we talk about equality, we talk about stepping up, we talk about your individual rights, as you say, Sally, being an individual, being accepted for that individual, being accepted for your belief structure, whatever it is. But a lot of these marches, Sally puts the question out there, well, why weren't women that were pro-life able to march successfully with a lot of the other women who were very much on the opposite side of that, which has become a very political conversation, clearly. So why is that, Gail? Why are they not? Why are not all women accepted for whatever their belief structure is? Why?
So let's say, for example, you were putting together a march to redesign that was focused on gun control. Would you want groups that were supporting AK-47s for sale at 7-Elevens or at Walmart? It just, what happens ultimately, it politicizes the entire thing energetically. It just doesn't balance.
But Gail, a women's march should have been a women's march.
They're based on an agenda and they're based on an edict. And so if it doesn't go with that, you couldn't have, it goes against the original idea. They can have their own march.
But it's a women's march. It's not a pro.
No, I understand that, but it's
not
based
a pro-choice march.
It's based on ideology. It's based on a goal and an ideology and raising.
Then it was misrepresented in terms of what the purpose was.
That could be. That could very well be. I know I was at both of them. The first one was 750,000 people, which was the largest of all 300, and it was life-changing. And I think that I think there's 375 women that are running for office now. I believe that all of them, and I've listened to most of the interviews from these women, were all inspired by the women's movement, by the women's march in their own towns and also on a national level. So, and that's really what a lot of it was about, having women run for office, just having women have a seat at the table. You know, as human beings, a lot of what we do and say, a lot of our behavior has to do with our hormones. And if you don't believe that, we're never going to get our shit together. Our chemistry, who we are, how we act, how we interreact. We got to start sitting down with each other and creating some sort of bridge, so that instead of seeing the way in which we communicate as women versus the men, the way that men communicate as men, as something else other than I'm better than you or I deserve a bigger slice of the pie than you, we're never going to inspire anyone to any kind of action or change ever.
That's the million-dollar point right there, Gail. You just said it.
Nothing's perfect.
You just said it. But, Gail, so you say your words, we've got to start to create a bridge. We've got to talk together. I like that a lot. And here's what I'm thinking about. What comes to my mind, the visual, when I listen to Sally right now put it out there, and I hear your response to that, and your response was very honest and forthcoming. And you're right, because she admitted, Sally, it's an ideology here that it's misrepresented. And Gail doesn't deny that. A lot of these things are. They're politically motivated. They're gender-driven. And they're are used for different purposes. It's not really an all-inclusive women's march. It's an all-inclusive this particular club march. You have to have a belief structure over here, right?
Which is why I think women's movements do not support women in a whole.
But Sally Gale is kind of saying that same thing when she says, you know what, at some point here, now think about this, ladies, this point here is a big point to me. It rubs me and should rub you all the wrong way as well, because this is really where the rubber meets the road right here, what we're talking about right now, because we're not accepting those differences. So what I find when I think about that march and I think about the protest, Gail, Sally, and I think about the riots, I see two women in faces, one pro-life, one pro-choice in this particular case, ladies, okay? And I see them talking to each other on the front lines, you know, you suck, you rot, I hate you, blah, blah, you know, and you can almost see the hatred and the, I mean, this really happens, the vitriol stemming from this. We take it like it becomes a life mission to defeat your ideology. I don't like your beliefs, the meaning I don't like you and I hate you and you suck, and this really happens. This is why it gets really ugly very fast. And yet, we never ever spend the time and focus, Gail, like you said a moment ago, on what I say these are what I say all the time, Gail. We don't spend the time talking about what connects us as a people. We tend to, as human beings, always want to talk about what divides us. So when we get to the dance of life, when you think about all the things that could connect women, Sally, they're monstrous. I mean, the list is endless, Sally. But yet, what do they do immediately? We take the one or two subject matters that where we can tear each other a you-know-what, and we go at it in a confrontational mode. That's a big problem out there. Why is that, ladies? Why is that?
Well, this is Shauna again, and I think that ties into what I said earlier. You have to break it down beyond what genitals you have on a body. It is about energy. And so when, you know, as you were saying, Malcolm, why can't we take the things that connect us? That flows from a female energy, whereas saying this is a women's march, but only certain women are welcome here, that's, again, it's back to divide, separate, things are separated. And so I think that we have to look at it at a deeper level.
Throw a little bit of hippie shit onto this one, because a few years back I had such a rant. In fact, I did a mini video ranting about this. I think one of the issues, and it taps into everything Sean is saying about energy, is that even we as women look at other women that we perceive as being strong or having a forceful or a powerful energy, and we immediately slate them for being too masculine. And I think we need to look at that as well. You know, if you look at my wife and I, two women in a relationship, and that's what that sparked this rant a few years back. I have short hair. I'm quite forthright. I'm forward facing. I get out there a lot. People see my wife as having longer hair and they immediately think, oh, Taz is the masculine one. Ash is the feminine one. And it's total BS. We look at women. We look at women who we assume are strong women, and we immediately say they are masculine, which means that when women come to step up into positions of power, the energy becomes distorted, because at some point we've learned that in order to take a step up, we have to become more masculine, which means some of the more natural feminine energy traits get pushed further and further down, because on some level we perceive that in order to have any sway in the world, we have to act like guys. And that's not what it's about. We need to stop seeing fiery, again, in making air quotes, energy as masculine, and stop seeing softer energy as being feminine. And we just have to accept that we are people with these equal balances of energy. We need to stop keeping strong women down and saying that they're masculine. We're beating ourselves up too often.
Wow.
I think I'm hanging out in the wrong world, because I'm in a world where, you know, I don't see a problem with the relationship between men, women, or otherwise. And if the issue is how do we achieve equality, then that comes through a skill set. What does
Absolutely
a woman
agree.
Want for herself?
Yes.
And what does she need to do to get to her goal?
Yes, but in order to get to her goal, she doesn't have to adopt what is now perceived as a masculine energy or natural energies. Or
of course not.
I mean, we're playing that game too readily, and it's becoming.
But we shouldn't have to. I mean, we look at the Ashley, we look at, you know, the Nikki Haley's of the world.
Yeah.
There's amazing women in powerful roles who are functioning as amazing women in powerful roles. I see a lot of divide, whether, you know, from many perspectives. But if we started the show by saying, should women rule the world? And I think we all agree that we need both sides. I mean, you know, we are wired differently. And
yeah, but we have both sides right now, but we have 3/4 men, maybe a little bit less than 1/4 women, Sally.
But the reason is, and I believe the reason is, it goes back, you know, we started to say, when did it start? And go with caveman. But it had to start, you know, probably in terms of maybe the 50s, the role model. Mm-hmm. The wife was to stay home. Then it became she wanted to get into the business world. Mm-hmm. Well, she's coming into the game late.
And so see, that's the thing right there, Sally. That's it, right?
And that's the skill level.
That's what I said. There, she's coming into the game late. And why was that ever happened? I don't really know the answer to that, ladies, quite frankly. Here's what I want you to think about here as we get into our next segment. I want you to think about, Shauna, you pull up some interesting points about femininity and masculinity. And I know that's a real interesting piece that we must explore in this next chapter, ladies. And here's what I want to say. To really make this conversation complete and to talk about the differences, as you say, Sally, back, well, but, you know, we need each other. There is a difference here. Are we really embracing our differences in the way that, because I think a lot of people don't, they find it as a point of contention, which really happens on a gender level, it happens on an ethnic level, the ethnicities, it happens on every single level of thinking. Human beings do this, and it's where the spark comes. It's a spark, and not always a good spark. It can be a really bad spot. But think about what we bring to the dance of life. So in other words, think about these qualities, ladies. Think about decisiveness, being able to make a very strong declarative decision. Bing, I've made it. There it is. Let's do it. Decisiveness. Directness. Being direct, not beating around the bush. This is the way I want to do it, and this is why. Okay? Being direct. Confidence. I got the confidence to do this stuff because I know I can do it. I'm very confident in it. So I got confidence. Dominance, and I plan to kick some ass. Decisiveness, directness, confidence, and dominance. I'm going to dominate that. Now, you can call this. So as you think about those adjectives, okay, well, are these strengths or weaknesses for most women? Is this masculine or feminine power? Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
We all hold both energies in a very equal balance. It's just whether we're allowing ourselves to see and use whichever type of energy. So masculine energies focus around logic, accuracy, analytics. Feminine energies focus around intuition, freedom, passion, creativity, connecting. We need all those skills. So many times we're hearing business now say, we don't have enough creative people. We don't have people thinking outside the box. That is a feminine energy. We need that every
What's the feminine energy? Thinking outside the box?
Thinking outside the box. Yes.
So men are more, hold on, stop there. So men are more in a box of thinking? They sit more in a box?
Agree with that.
Yeah, technically,
is that right?
Their brains are more like they separate things into little boxes.
So, Shauna, let me ask you a question, please. As much as we've known each other through the whole season, this entire season, let me ask you this because I want to sort of break the stereotype of what we're talking about right now with you, if possible. So, in your understanding of Malcolm, would you say Malcolm has more masculine energy or feminine energy? Where would you put myself?
Well, you know, I hear that back and forth with you. You were saying we need to have these conversations mm-hmm. where everybody's included, mm-hmm. but you also have like a very organized, you're very driven about pushing forward this agenda that you see that we need to have mm-hmm. conversations. It's a beautiful balance you have, Malcolm.
Malcolm, you're a Metro male. I don't understand a lot of this. It sounds more like your chi and everything else and your zing and your zang and whatever. I mean, because what we're not talking about is, again, going back to individuals, and it has to do with socialization. It has to do with experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am very decisive. I put it out there on the line because that's the way I grew up. That was the experience.
So those four adjectives, mm-hmm. Sally, I said before the break, decisiveness, directness, confidence, and dominance. Do you have those four, Sally?
I have them all because that's the way I had to grow up. So it came from experience. It's not whether I have more masculine or feminine inside of me. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's basically my experience. It's who I am. Maybe part of it comes from my genetics, comes from my education. I mean, we can't deny all the things that happen around us help to shape us.
Sally, you have
certainly
a very
not.
Supportive
no.
husband, Sally. You have a very, very, I want to ask you this question. Does he look at you, well, first of all, is Joe a feminist? Does he believe in powerful women?
Joe had seven sisters. He has the utmost respect for women.
But do you consider him sort of a feminist?
No, he's a very strong masculine who has amazing respect for women.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. So
they can coexist.
That's what I'm asking. Can they coexist? So you wouldn't qualify him as a feminist, but yet he has. So can anybody tear that apart, ladies, with what Sally puts out there? That could he be as masculine as he is a man's man?
Yeah.
You know, he wears boots
yeah.
and he, you know, smoke cigars and, you know, with it, you know what I mean.
Yes, 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 yes. And Malcolm, while we're at it, I just want to slap you down a little bit for what you were saying from beforehand. Of course women have those identities. Of course women have those innate abilities. And to pick up from something earlier, it goes way, way, way back before the 50s. This goes way back. You'd have to read something like Tacitus, some of the kind of Roman invasion texts, at least for looking at Britain and Europe. Women did have these abilities. It's just that the innate feminine qualities, the intuition, the caring, the motherhood. Once you've stood by and watched your families being raped and pillaged, of course, you're going to cow down for a bit. So we have learned to box them over mm-hmm. time. And I think the problem with the word feminism is that it's become warped. You know, I if you look at the actual meanings of the word feminism, you tick that box, I'd be a feminist. But even I cringe to look at that, because it's been turned into this warped kind of women are better than men, grow your armpits into long plaits and start, you know, jumping around in hobnail boots. That's not what it's about. You know, equalism would probably be a better word now. So, of course, by the original idea of what feminism was about, then your husband would be a feminist. But now the word has become so blooming warped, it's almost cringeworthy to use it.
Sally, so does your husband believe in the advocacy of women's rights on the basis of the equality of the sexes?
Absolutely.
He has seven sisters, so he is a feminist. Because
he's
that
not
is,
a feminist, and well, I agree with Taz. The word makes me cringe.
Wait. That is the definition of feminism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's
exactly.
happened is, for political reasons mm-hmm. and for the idea of having to yeah. sell stuff
yeah.
or push political agendas, it's been hijacked and it's used as red meat for somebody. But at the end of the day, the definition of feminism is the advocacy of women's rights on the
yep.
basis of the equality.
100%
of
correct. Gail is absolutely yep. correct.
Malcolm,
he is a feminist.
Malcolm, this is Susan. I am as feminine a woman as you can imagine, but yet I'm a very strong, powerful woman, and I attract strong men. But I look very, very feminine. I have I love men, you know. But I want to say, when I was 18 years old, went into the United States Army, and I wore combat boots, and I went through training, even though I was a feminine woman. Half my yeah. day I was in fatigues and boots, and the other half I was in a skirt or a dress looking beautiful and had my choice of men friends.
I thought you were going to say I wore condoms when you said combat. I was going to say, wow, that's a
yeah,
revelation here. Susan, go ahead.
I wore my combat boots, but then the other half of the day I wore high heels or whatever. You know what? We're all women with a viewpoint.
See, I like that,
but
Susan.
We all come from a different part of life. We have a different belief system. Belief systems is what drives us, brings up our passion and our reason for life and who we attract into that. There's no right, there's no wrong answer. We just have to step up and take the leadership role. And there's been times in my life where I had to become the mother and father, the hunter and the gatherer, which is a gift to be able to do both, because I was going through a divorce and raising my children. Okay. Again, there's no right, there's no wrong answer. I don't want to fight with my sisters over this because, you know, why would we do that? That separation and division.
Well, it comes down, Susan, it really comes back to this, energy we all have that Shauna points out. So I guess there are some men, we're saying, that the masculine-feminine balance that go one way or another. And maybe this is where it's today, it seems like it's a little confusing, Shauna, because we all have this sort of balance. Some maybe go a little more to the masculine, some more to the feminine. And I guess you would say the same with women. Some women are maybe a little more masculine than feminine. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. When we look at it, you know, in this way, we can see this isn't actually a problem between men and women. It's a spiritual problem. Are we going to allow for all of these qualities that exist? We were talking about skills before. Yeah. Are we going to allow for all of the qualities that exist, not just the ones associated more on with patriarchy or masculinity? Yeah. Are we going to allow all the qualities to exist? And that's what we're longing for in this day and age, a little bit more of the qualities associated with feminine energy, acceptance, unity, discussion that's accepting, creativity, you know, just bringing that into balance with what we already have going on.
About accepting that that masculine and feminine energies really have nothing to do with gender.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. That's it. That's it, Taz. Yeah. All right. Let's do this in our last couple of moments left. What I'd like to do is go around the table here. What does the future look like for women? Here we sit in 2018. We've talked about the progress. We've talked about how far we've come as a species with men and women, feminine, masculine power. What does the future look like for women now that we've made the progress. Now that we're at this new start, let's call this a new starting point, ladies. We're at a new starting point. So what does the future look like? Gail, let's start with you, Gail. What does the future look like for women?
Well, I think after the midterm elections, we're going to see what it looks like when we add a lot more sugar to the recipe. When we add this dollop, this hopefully huge dollop, this wave, into our federal government, and we'll see. I actually don't think anybody can really predict. I just think it's going to be interesting. And like anything else that's new, there's a pendulum, and the pendulum's going to swing, and it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. And I hate to be the bearer of the bad news, that if you think women should have the same rights as men. Seriously, you are a feminist. I'm sorry. I'm only the messenger.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I always considered myself a feminist, Gail. I always have been, because I do believe inequality across the board.
It's political. Yeah. It's political. You want to drive a car? You want to vote?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do.
I don't have a problem with the word. The word has been hijacked, but, you know, it's sadly. And so it has different connotations for different people, but I totally get it. Joe is a feminist too, Sally, but we'll get back to that again a little bit later here. Let's get to Shauna Peters.
For me, what this looks like is being as a male in a male body or a female body, stepping more fully into what it means to be a human living on this earth. Can we accept our massive abilities on all levels, our creativity, our ability for logic, our passion, poetry, reason? Can we incorporate all those things that seem to be opposites? Can we hold those as a whole? Can we see that those don't have to divide us? Can we see that they are simply different adjectives about one concept, and that can all fit within one person?
You know, Shauna, I like the way you always prefers people first and the unity of a person, of a human being. I think that's what really this is all about to me. I it's breaking down these gender stereotypes and these ethnic stereotypes that are out there. And I think the more we do that as a people, the more powerful we're going to be ahead, and we support each other. I mean, that's well said. All right, let's get over to Susan Pry. Susan, please give us your what does the future look like for women?
Well, Malcolm, I can honestly say I have no idea what the future looks like, but I embrace it. And in embracing so, knowing that a lot of us may not be into politics, but there's politics of life are in all of us. And so knowing that, we just have to have a balance. You just have to be ready for the game. Mm-hmm. And we all do have male and female qualities. Sometimes we have to exercise one over the other. You know, men have to be more feminine, too, and they have to stand into an empathetic, compassionate mode. So I just think sometimes we're too much into our heads. We need to lead with our hearts and just be compassionate human beings.
When Susan when Susan puts that out there, I want to say this when we get the last three answers here is that, you know, when she talks about compassion, I think we would say is more a feminine quality. It seems to be. When you take a look around the world, ladies, and you see the vitriol right now with leadership, I'm talking about political leadership and business leadership for that matter, and you see the focus that in this male-dominated environment that it is that we talk about. Again, we talk about progress, but we talk about where we're at too right at this moment. Compassion. If women really were to rule the world, wouldn't there be more compassion as leaders? Wouldn't there be more as leaders now go? I mean, wouldn't that be, would we have a different landscape? And I'm talking about globally here now. I'm talking about in the Middle East. I'm talking about in Europe. And I know there are some women leaders. I'm not ignoring that. But I'm talking more and more power in that area. Barbara McGee, speak to that point, please.
I think it's also important that people know that Americans are not in agreement with American politics and how we show up in the world. I think it's also important for us to know as women that if we want to really set an agenda, we need a party, our own party.
A party,
the
huh?
Women's party, not a march, not a show up and show out.
I like that. Oh, that's good, Barbara. That's good. No more marches. Let's have parties. I like that, man.
and then you'll be heard. We as women need to be concerned with, I need a great job, but I also need a great family. And I need to make sure that my family comes first before my own personal exploits. And I think this is where, when we go back to promoting our families and our families promoting us, I think we'll find personal success, and I think we'll be able to engage differently.
All right, thank you, Barbara. Thank you. All right, so Sally, so what about this? Think about this a moment here. What if we were to have, instead of a women's march next, what if we were to have a women's party, a party of life, embrace life? I mean, is that a different animal? Does that look differently?
I think women find ways to do that. We're doing it on this show. We're bringing women together. We're bringing women's ideas together. Mm-hmm. I think we're making progress. The trajectory is up. It's slow. But you mentioned heads of state. There are 38% are women, 56 in 146 countries or something like that. So we're making progress. But I don't think we want to lose the male perspective, because I think to do that, we lose part of ourselves.
Oh, hell no. And I'm not going to let that happen, Sally. There's no way. No way. I never gave that up, Sally. What the hell's in that? Come on.
In terms of the future, we should all know that in just about every species of mammal, the female lives longer than the male.
Oh, so. There it is. There's the magic moment there. Hold on. Sally, I got to ask you one quick follow-up here. When we talk about the percentages you put out there about women leaders and political mm-hmm. leaders and stuff like that, right now, just take a guess yourself right now. When do you think, how far ahead does the United States elect the first women president? We're one of the few countries that have never had a woman as president. When will that happen in this country, in your opinion, Sally?
I think we're very, very close. I look at the women out there and mm-hmm. say, who is qualified? Mm-hmm. I only see a few, mm-hmm. but there may be more that will rise up in the next few years. I think we're just probably a couple of elections away.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. So, all right, Taz Thornton here. Let's get to this this point of the future and what it looks like for women with everything we've discussed. We've had some pretty heavy topics here today and thoughts. I really appreciate, enjoyed this conversation. What do you think? What does it look like?
Well, I can't talk about what the world looks like for women because I think it's what the world looks like for people. But I do think, what I hope, is that we get to a point where elements such as compassion play a bigger part, where we get more in tune with our intuition, and where we stop seeing things like showing emotion and vulnerability as a weakness, because mm-hmm. they're not. There's an immense power in these things. I would like to see us getting to a point where we recognize the difference between being powerful, filled with power, and powerful, having power over. I'd like to see a point where we just know that the right people are in the job without going, wow, that's a woman, or wow, they're black, or wow, they're anything else. Just that's the right person in the job. That's what I hope for all of us.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. really beautiful, Taz. That's well said. Mm-hmm. Wow, ladies, incredible conversation here. I get so much out of it, and I'm empowered just to hear this conversation, quite honestly, and just... it moves me to realize that what we all want is we want the equality of people. We want, we just want to bring it back to the essence of a human being and what that person is, who that person is. And as you say, you know, that they can succeed on every level, whoever they are, whatever their background is, wherever they came from in the world. I love those kinds of stories. I think when you look back over again the past 100 years and you look at, answering how we got there, that's a conversation for another day, but progress, absolutely. It also comes back, ladies, I want to leave it with this thought that what connects us as a people really needs to be our mantra moving forward. That's what we need to focus on as men and women and as people of equality. What connects us as a people? What, that's the party of life I'm looking for here, not what divides us. And I always learned that in the corporate boardrooms, ladies. We always lead with our best. We lead with progress and success. Even when we have to deliver bad news, think about it, we start with good news. We start at the top. You're doing a great job because you look really great in the job that you've done, and we appreciate all your efforts because. But yet there are some improvements we need to make, and these are those. It's mandated from corporate boardrooms. You start with the best. You lead with your best. You salute and you raise people up. You raise people up with this consciousness of the fact that there is a lot of good in the world and there is good with all of us. That's how we lead. We have to lead with that in the future, not tearing people down so we enter the march or the protest or, as you say, maybe we need a party now, Barbara, you know? Yeah. And so maybe it is time for that, but think about that. Let's work on that part of it, friends. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, friends, Season 2. What a remarkable conversation. I applaud all the women, and we're just so excited to have this special series at America Out Loud, and we are the voice of freedom. Let the silent voices be heard. Let the silent voices be free. Let them be heard. Let them be free. Let them speak. Let them be. Let them do. Let them have. That's our mantra here at America Out Loud, and we do it every day. We represent what freedom is. We represent what people are. We represent equality. We represent love, not hatred. We're on that side of the spectrum. We're about all of that. Friends, we thank you for being part of this. And again, part two of this conversation in our finale, Why Women Should Rule the World, will continue on tomorrow, friends. The entire season is on podcast. This is an amazing body of work that'll be heard from forever. I mean, it's available. That's the beauty of podcast. Once it's on talk radio, it goes right to podcast here at America Out Loud, and we're happy to do both of those here. Catch us every day, 5 p.m. The entire season, again, will run all summer long, right into the fall. Season 3 will resume in November. We'll catch you right there. We appreciate it. Again, our email address, talk@AmericaOutloud.com. talk@AmericaOutloud.com. Let us know if there's a woman who should be part of this group in season 3 or 4. Let us know who that is, please. Friends, thank you again for being part of this journey. Susan Price, Shauna Peters, Gail Murphy, Barbara McGee, Taz Thornton, Sally Fernandez. This is Malcolm Out Loud, to be continued, friends.